you see a person who is homeless, sleeping rough or begging on the street, would you give them money? And if so, are you doing them harm? A new campaign is being launched today by DePaul and the Welcome Organisation calling Begging for Change, in which they urge people not to give money to someone on the street. They say it may do more harm than good. Sandra Moore is the director of the Welcome Organisation. Morning, Sandra.
Good morning,
Stephen. Good morning. And the blogger Chris Nixon, who himself has been homeless, is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Chris.
Hello.
And the commentator, John McCurry. Mr. McCurry, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So set this out for us, Sandra. Why, if we're walking past someone, should we not be charitable?
That's the last thing that this campaign is about, Stephen. We would still encourage people to be compassionate and charitable in other ways. The whole campaign is actually about raising awareness of the impact of giving on the street. I mean, giving is not a benign act. We're asking people to continue to be compassionate, but to think before they give money to people on the street. I picked up on your entry comments, and you certainly made a close analogy between homelessness, rough sleeping, and begging. And actually, there's no correlation between the two in Belfast, and that comes from sound evidence of...
Well, there must be some links.
Very few. It's compared to other cities, our experience is that where any homeless person is begging on the street is primarily to support not accommodation, food or whatever, it is to support a dependency or addiction.
Chris?
Yeah, I know the figures you're talking about. So I know you're talking about the arrest figures that came out last year.
Yes.
I think of, I could be wrong, 156 people arrested mm-hmm. over 4 years for begging. Only four of them had no mm-hmm. fixed abode. Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think that justifies the point, though, because you're not giving money necessarily because they're homeless. You see someone in a doorway that looks down on their luck, you might assume homeless, but they're certainly not advertised as such. They're impoverished. They're in need. And yes, some of them may well be feeding some sort of addiction, be it drink or drugs, but you say may, you say might, you say could. If okay. one person gets helped by me forking over a couple of quid or my change from getting a burger, surely the point of it is done. I've helped someone that needed help.
Yes, but what we are trying to do, primarily this campaign is concerned about breaking the cycle of begging and to try and encourage people to access services. The campaign, any of our literature, you'll see we are focused on the health and well-being of our citizens in Belfast.
But how do you know, or how do we know, if someone is sitting on the street and they're asking for money, how do we know they haven't had something to eat for a day or two? How do we know that money wouldn't make the difference on them getting food?
Well, Stephen, our Welcome Organisation Street Outreach, as you know, you've experienced it, is out there from 8 a.m. every morning until 1 a.m. the next morning, 365. And indeed, we have done two pieces of work looking at how many people are on the street overnight. And it is generally in single figures.
So that's not what this is about. It's not
no,
about
it's
people
not.
Who are
it's
on the street
It's not about homelessness.
Overnight.
It's about begging.
And therefore, by extension, impoverishedness. Food poverty and people living on the breadline or below.
Okay, Welcome Organisation, for anyone who knows us, we are open from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. at our drop-in every day. And for those who are impoverished in need of food, clothes, showers, laundry, they are accessible free. And indeed, there is actually a perception possibly that people are helping by giving people money for accommodation, which is accessible free in Belfast.
So you're telling us to walk past people asking for money?
Absolutely not, Stephen.
Don't give them money. Is that what you're telling
we
us?
We are asking people to think before they give anyone money. I mean, you can show kindness.
But what does that mean, think
ways.
Before we give money? Do we give money or not to people
no,
begging?
We are actually saying we're asking people not to. Is it not much more humane and charitable? The point that Chris made, if people are impoverished, they don't know when they've, and you said you don't know when they've eaten last. Is it not much more humane to give someone a sandwich, a cup of tea and a kind thought or a word and to acknowledge them? Is that not much more dignified than just throwing someone a couple of pounds? And indeed, you did say giving someone maybe the price of a beef burger, but that price of a beef burger could actually be used to buy 2 litres of cider.
It could be.
Four cans of cheap lager.
It could be, yeah.
If
I have £5 in my pocket, I might give it to a homeless person and they might spend it on drink, or I might go to a bar and buy myself a couple of drinks.
Yeah,
what does it matter? It's not for me to choose how that person spends their money.
Absolutely. And the public have the right to choose how they support people.
But currently we have a campaign where public money is being spent to tell people not to do this.
Well,
Would this money not be better spent on other telling people to say a nice word, or a campaign saying if you see someone begging on the street, go and buy them a cup of tea, rather than getting into the public's head and saying don't give them money? That creates the culture. I'm sure it seems you agree, Stephen.
It's not actually
that creates
what
the culture where you're assuming someone sitting on the street is taking advantage.
No, that is the last thing we want to do, is to demonise people who are begging. And bear in mind that some of the people who are on the street begging may actually be in a situation of exploitation. And we want to break the cycle. We ask people not to lose their compassion. But and in terms of the campaign using public money, certainly there's none of as a charity's money has gone into this. It has been supported by PSNI and the policing partnership.
Which is public money.
Which is public money. But also bear in mind there are other aspects of the impact of begging.
Well, let's say we think at home this morning, 030-30-80-55-55. Your call's coming in this morning. Let's get John McCraig's view first of all. What do you think, John?
Well, Stephen, most of us are compassionate. And there are surveys that have been shown that the British are among the most generous people giving to charity on the planet per head. But this here is very, very dangerous. You are perpetuating the problem of homelessness by contributing off the cuff in the streets. And these people there, some of them, and I emphasise the word some, are criminal. Some are making a living out of it.
Some aren't, John.
Some are. Some people are.
John, if you help one person, John, if you give to 100 people and it saves one person's life, 99 people are going to spend it on drink and drugs. They were going to spend their money on drink or drugs probably anyway. You giving that or not giving that is not going to be the thing that breaks the cycle. But if you help one person, why isn't it worth it?
But on that basis, then, what about all the other
people? No, not on that basis. Why isn't it worth it to help one person?
And it is taking away resources from the people who deserve it and need it and can get proper attention and proper succor from us that we want to give it to people. It is so sad to see people in the streets. Of course it is. And it could happen. And let's emphasize, it could happen to any of us. None of us are immune. We may have our fancy houses now and our jobs and all that sort of thing.
Speak for yourself.
But many people have really come down and out, some through no fault of their own. But there are organisations that help, Salvation Army, so many others, to give to, that you cannot go and give to people in the street. You don't know who you're giving it to, what kind of people they are, whether they are making a living out of this, and this is how they're determined.
You don't know that. You've just acknowledged that you don't know that, John.
Circles.
You don't know that. You've acknowledged that,
and
you're right. You don't know that.
You don't know that they're genuine homeless people. You don't know that either.
If we're going to act on things we don't know, we perhaps wouldn't get into your line of work to do with gambling. However, the charities that you're talking about giving money to, they're big companies. They're big organisations with big hierarchies. For example, this one in particular, this campaign, is being run by the Welcome Organisation and DePaul. DePaul in Northern Ireland spend 1.8 million gross figure on wages alone.
That point is actually irrelevant, and I think we're
irrelevant.
It is. We are moving away from the core of the campaign. And John, you rightly said it's about helping people.
Yes.
And the background to this campaign actually was as a response to 5 deaths on the streets of Belfast. And when we looked at each one of those individuals, they had access to accommodation, and their situation was being perpetuated through people supporting and giving on the street.
When you were homeless, Chris, did people give you money? And if they did it make a difference some days?
Yeah, I wasn't a street beggar. To be honest, I was too young to be not dangerous to climb.
How old were you?
14 and 15.
Wow, on the street at 14?
Yeah, on the streets, in the backs of cars and shops, anywhere I could sleep. And I regularly had friends or parents of friends, or there were different organizations, charities set up in the backs of churches that would give out furniture or meals or clothes. And because I still had to get to school, which was a train ride away, I'd regularly have people give me money so I didn't have to bunk the train.
How dangerous is it for sexual exploitation, especially of the young?
In context, John?
You know, of money being given over to kids as you were on the streets, isn't that dangerous? Aren't you liable to have other people sort of exploiting you or exploiting anyone else?
I agree, John.
Crime and all sorts of dangerous things, while official organisations, and I agree, the expenses of so many charities need to be looked at. That when you give your pound in the bucket, you don't expect the money to go on fat cat salaries, advertising campaigns, etc. All that needs to be looked at. Some is genuine, some is not. But this here is perpetuating a horrible problem for the people concerned and for everyone else.
But it helped you. It helped buy you food, didn't it?
It helped buy me food. It helped get me clothes. It helped get me. It literally helped me buy stuff for school, pens, pencils.
And is it a private matter how you ended up homeless at 14?
I've actually spoken on your show two years ago about it. My mother and her partner drank too much and decided that was a better priority than rent, which resulted in us being homeless. And my brother was actually born when we were going from shelter to shelter. So my GCSE years were homeless and his first years on the planet were whilst homeless. And people giving.
And did your mum not wonder where you were at night?
Not. She was homeless as well.
So were you with her on the street?
Yeah, well, some nights yes, some nights no. We'd go from shelter to shelter. If we couldn't, we'd stay at friends or family.
It blows my mind, the thought of a 14-year-old on the street on his own. It just blows my mind. It's terrifying, is it not?
In hindsight, yes. In practice, it's the reality for some people, and it is the same in Belfast. There's people right now that have this. Homelessness isn't just those who sleep in doorways. It's like me, for times I was de facto homeless, for times I was hidden homeless, sofa surfing, or finding if friends' parents who had a workshop, I'd stay in a workshop for a few days.
And John, do you just walk on then?
I'm afraid so. Absolutely, walk on. Obviously, you're sad about it. You wonder, though, exactly whose fault it is, whether it's the person's fault, whether they are exploiting the situation. But this breeds a dependency culture, that there's no incentive for people who are on the streets, if they're being sort of fed and clothed and given money just by...
Where do you get this incentive from? I'm sure they would like the option of
it.
I'm sure they'd like the option of an incentive. Incentive, John.
There's no one sitting there in the doorway asking you for scraps of change that thinks, you know what, this is a sweet life, I've got it made.
Well, it's dehumanising. Can I come in here?
Getting work, isn't there? You can get work. You know, I've worked in kitchens for £1 an hour ages ago, and just turned up and got the job. All right, it's a bit difficult now in the more controlled era that we live in. But there are ways of helping yourself. As a 14-year-old, you could be a paper boy, all sorts of things. I worked in Boots the Chemist when I was 15. We've all done these things, and self-sufficiency. You've got to help yourself, first of all. Are these people helping themselves or taking the rest
of us? All right, go on, Sandra. Okay.
There are two points I want to make. Picking up on what Chris said, you said that you didn't actually beg on the street, that you were given assistance through organisations.
Mm-hmm.
You were then dealing with professionals who were able to assess your level of need and put you in contact with appropriate services and to support you. And that is what this campaign is about. And there's also this myth about people not sitting in doorways because they've no other option. Actually, the amount of earnings that someone can make sitting in a doorway can be quite colossal.
Is it comparable to a charity's wage bill of 1.8
million?
We don't want to get into that, but I think we need to look at the average wage of that charity, and I know what it is. And given the number of employees they have, you'll see that there are no fat cat salaries involved, but that's a different point.
So who is begging? Is it organised begging in Belfast, in Northern Ireland?
Well, that's something that needs a piece of further research, Stephen. There's certainly anecdotal talk about that. But we would equally...
Well, you're saying they can earn colossal money.
Absolutely.
Where are you getting that from?
From our service users. From people who have used services and welcome.
What's colossal money?
Yeah, what are we talking about?
People think... when we did a survey on the streets of Belfast to see what the perception was as to how much someone could earn a day, the majority of people thought it was somewhere up to £40. The majority thought that. The next biggest kind of percentage of people thought was between 40 and 70.
And what was it in reality?
In reality, can be anything from £40 an hour to 120.
An hour?
It can be, yes.
Okay, and all of that is being used for bad purposes.
£120 an hour.
It can be, yes, as high as that.
I'd like to see the supporting evidence for that.
So would
well,
I.
Actually, come,
so if
Stephen and I are going
to if they're out there for 8 hours, then you're suggesting
some
that somebody's lifting £1,000 a day.
Generally, not sitting there all day every day. Well, people will come onto the street and do a few hours tapping and then go home. We are talking significant amounts of money.
Is there a suspicion of organised begging then? Of criminal activity?
There is suspicion, but there's no hard evidence. And certainly that is something we would like to get to.
Okay.
If there is organised begging, we would have a concern that those people who would be involved are being exploited. But anyone who has hard evidence, please take it to the PSNI.
Let's see what we're thinking at home this morning. Owen, morning, Owen.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Stephen, I just want to say this. These two people in John McKinney, they're talking bull crap. I mean, of the highest degree. The next thing we're going to hear is that they're going to say, stop people from begging. If you're walking in the street and you see some crater laying on a doorway, someone, it's up to you if you want to give them something or not. The next thing these people are going to be looking is Black Sandy off the road.
Well, of course it's up to you, but is it the right thing? And John McCurry, for example, is saying to you this morning, walk on, Owen.
I walk on. Well, it's John McCurry's well enough fixed off to walk on, but he wouldn't be one to be seen talking to somebody who's down and out. He forgets whenever he was down and out. You know what I mean? How did he get up there?
John?
All of us have had problems in our lives, and as I said, all of us could end up on the streets now, however well off we are. That does happen. You can rise and you can fall in life. But contributing to people who are on the streets is perpetuating the dependency culture. That's what it's doing. It's not getting rid of the problem. It's not healing the problem. The people stay on the streets.
John, if it helps,
let me let Owen respond to him. Go on, Owen.
Well, I'm letting him do his spiel. I wasn't going to interrupt him, you know. That's your opinion. That's your opinion. That's the way you feel. You know what I mean? What about ordinary people that's walking down the street and they go into the shop and they buy something and they get it for half price or someone and they say, God, I got a good deal there, and they come out and they see some crate they're laying on the doorway and they say, well, look, I have a few quid extra there, I'll give it to him.
Let me ask you,
if Black Santa was out, or whenever it comes Christmas time, Black Santa, are you going to tell the people to walk past Black Santa?
But let me ask you this question. If you walk out of a store and you've got a good deal and you want to give money to someone who's begging in the streets, are you helping to get them off the streets and to readjust and get their lives back on track, or are you perpetuating that they'll stay on the streets? You're not helping them.
Will you answer me this question?
You're condemning them to this way.
Will you answer me this question, then? If you walk out of the shop and you have a few quid in your pocket after getting a bargain and you walk past them people, are you helping them to get off the street?
You're not, no. You're harming them. You're condemning them to stay
on the
street.
Of course you're not. You're walking past them. And you're saying, you don't even exist.
No. You don't say that. What you do is try and get in touch or put them in touch, if you know, of an organisation that's acceptable. I mentioned the Salvation Army at the top of my head. But there are organisations that help people. But when you give money, you are condemning them to a life on the street.
And David Belfast makes.
Tell me this, John. One more thing I'd like to ask you.
Hurry up, Owen. You're hogging the line.
Sorry about that, Stephen. Ask John and that lady there, when was the last time that they had dressed up and went out and seen how much, and let on they were a beggar, and seen how much money they got?
I certainly would. I just wouldn't speak to a beggar on the streets. You don't know how dangerous
yourself,
it is.
Have you met yourself?
No, you don't know how dangerous it is, what they're there for.
Who's perpetuating a myth now, John?
You just don't know. It's into the unknown. Let's get it into
your campaign is get rid of Black Santa.
No, I don't think, this is Sandra speaking, Owen. I don't think there's any comparison. We know exactly where the money from Black Santa is going to, and we know the cost.
Black Santa? Black Santa?
Black Santa, sorry. Black Santa. We know
Black Santa.
We know who the money is going to, and to charities that, that benefit from Black Santa. And yes, you're right. You do have choice. You have choice. But we are just actually wanting to raise awareness and ask the public to think.
Here's David in Belfast. Morning, David.
Good morning, Stephen. Well, I think with something that Sandra said, I'll have to pick on because, you know, you can't class everybody who is homeless in Northern Ireland as a drug user or an alcoholic user. You know, many people can be homeless for many different reasons, including their sexuality, for example, and their parents could throw them out of the house, or they can turn around and they could have a lot. Let me finish, please.
Sorry.
At the end of the day, somebody could have a mortgage. You could be paying a mortgage, and at the end of the day, you know, things can go wrong. If I have money in my pocket, I have a right, my money, I will give it to the people, and I have seen people going into shops and buying food.
Okay, well, let's let Sandra reply to you.
Hello, good morning, John.
David.
Oh, sorry, David. Actually, what we are saying is there's no reason why you can't go into a shop and buy someone and show them kindness, give them something on the street. But what this campaign is about is actually educating the public about the difference between homelessness and begging.
And, can I get back to Stephen a minute? John also mentioned there about selfish and harming. I have walked past on a Saturday night about the evening, and I have walked past and I've seen homeless people waiting to go into the Southeast and Army. I've seen homeless people being turned away because there's no places. The problem is government spending on homeless.
Yeah, and you're not suggesting, Sandra, that all homeless people are drug addicts, anything but, or indeed all beggars are.
No, absolutely not. And in fact, when we look, we have done research into this, and we actually look at the numbers between October and December last year. PSNI, let me finish, please. 146 persons were arrested for begging on the street, as it is illegal. But out of those 146, there were only 4 people had no fixed abode. So that's one of the things that we want to clear up. The correlation between homelessness and begging, they're two different issues completely. And this campaign is actually about improving the health and well-being of those who are begging by trying to encourage them to get into services.
Michael in Newton Abbey. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen. Could I just talk about a recent incident myself? I was in Belfast with my wife on Saturday, standing outside one of the shops, and a beggar come up and asked for money. And my response was, could I ask you what you need the money for? Is it for food? Is it for clothing or whatever? And he walked on. The point I'm making is, Stephen, that it's quite easy to turn around and ask the beggar the purpose. You know, what is it might be food, it might be drug, it might be alcohol. But what my experiences are, that when you do ask them, is it for food? I've invited them to come into the nearest cafe. Homelessness people, we've taken food out to them without them asking. So I think a little bit of common sense, if you can address the issue. Generally, the person who's begging for money, yes, they're begging for a purpose. But if you ask them what the reason is, generally my experiences are that if they're addicted to either alcoholism or drug, they don't want to give you the answer, because they know if you say they want food, that the likes of myself or someone perhaps might say, well, okay, look, that's now, Stephen, that, might I say, creates a bigger problem. Will they be allowed to go into the shop? Now, that's perhaps for another debate. How do people respond to beggars coming into the shop?
Okay, Michael, thank you. And Dolores, morning, Dolores.
Stephen, I want to know, why do they want people to conform? If we give our money, it's up to us. What the people spend it on is up to them. Now, you've lots of people out there, mentally ill, homeless, ex-services people. The government doesn't look after them anymore. They become with post-traumatic stress and other illnesses, and they can't cope, and they walk away.
Chris?
Yeah, there are a lot of people that slip through the cracks, and you're right to highlight it. Giving on the streets can help that. I mean, Sandra's organisation does a fantastic job. DePaul do a fantastic job, but They're not infallible. It's not foolproof. If me giving to one person helps, if for example, institutionalization, someone who's come out of, you mentioned the services, someone who's come out of the armed services, institutionalized, doesn't want to go along, have their name taken, see people with clipboards and name badges and have to sit there in an organization for 4 or 5 hours while someone does their laundry, someone cooks their food, someone asks all these questions about their life. Yeah, people won't always engage with that. So this campaign telling you not to give money to begging,
they should have saved their money and saved it for their wages bill.
Well, Dolores, thankfully, you'll not have that issue with ourselves.
No, because I had my heart breaking over many, many years with charities and envelopes and charities,
yes,
and envelopes and charities and phone calls.
Well, I have to say you won't have had that from either of the organisations who are leading out this campaign. And it is actually, there is choice. But yes, what this is about, it's about information. It's to get the public to start thinking about how they give and is there a better way to support people who are on the street.
Brian and Bangor. Morning, Brian.
Hi, Stephen. Just one of the things that I do to avoid scamming is I bring clothes up to the wee hostel for homeless in Verner Street in Belfast, get the train up free, walk down there and then next train back. You know what's going. Going to go to genuine homeless. Like, I saw a guy one day there, and he's sitting out in the bucket and rain in a sleeping bag on the edge of the pavement. Now, if you're going to sleep in a sleeping bag all night, you're not going to sit out in the rain and be in the doorway. I just said scammer and walked on. But on the other hand, too, for generosity.
You're making an assumption about someone based on a 2-second glance. That could be that person's life. You're looking at someone who's lying in the street in a sleeping bag in the rain.
He wasn't lying, he was sitting there and...
Well, I suppose his stance makes all the difference then. You're still making a judgment about another human being who's sitting...
It was bucketing on, and he didn't go to the doorway. You know, they're sitting in a sleeping bag all night. You know, but
that's a really sad state of affairs that's an assumption you make about another human being.
On the other hand, you know how my partner found £20 in the street the other day and she gave it to a homeless person? You know, I thought that was a lovely thing to do.
Well, I'm glad you weren't there to make any judgments.
Why did you make that judgment about the person in the street in the pouring rain?
Because I've camped all over the world and I would not be lying out in a sleeping bag. You'd be getting into a cave or into somewhere. You wouldn't be lying out all night. The sleeping bag's soaking wet.
How about next time? Why don't you ask him? Why don't you ask the person? A word to someone, a conversation, just engaging them in chat can, if someone's in that situation, help them. Why not ask them what's going on?
I've bought people meals. I won't give money. I've bought people meals. I used to take an alcoholic into a wee cafe and then at lunch, some of the ones in Bangor, there's an old Roman lady. Okay.
Isn't that much more humane way to treat someone?
Okay, look, we're going to have to leave it there. Brian, thank you. Chris, thanks for coming in. John McCrick, thank you. Sandra, thank you.